thank Reverend Williamson for a very fervent prayer to him, to the rest of these preachers that assemble here with us on today. To you, my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, it's good for us to be here. And I'd like to thank Reverend Williamson for what he just finished doing.
Amen.
Awakening our minds and our spirits to
yes.
what is needful.
Amen.
And what is necessary.
Yes.
As we go before the Lord when we pray. Certainly we fail to realize many times what we need to do for God.
All right.
But we're constantly asking God to do for us.
Yes.
It's like that child that we only hear from when they're in need. Is that right? Well, somebody know what I'm talking about. But we would like to direct your attention to the Word of God just for a few moments. We'd like to excavate a verse from the responsive reading that we've already participated in today. It is not an unfamiliar passage of scripture, amen, but it is one that is, I believe, timely and needful. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse number 10. John 1, verse 10. And when you have that, say amen.
Amen.
And it reads, He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not.
Amen.
I want to talk just for a few minutes about the making of a miracle. The making of a miracle. Amen. I hear and know that a lot of us dealing with some sinus and allergy issues. So pray for us. Amen. The making of a miracle. Let's discuss a man we'll call Doubtful.
All right.
Doubtful had a thriving business that turned sour.
Yes, sir.
The slumped economy was taking its toll on his business, and annual sales were down, and it looked like he would have to close the doors forever to a business that had been his life's work.
All right.
It wasn't long before severe depression set in, and Doubtful started having thoughts of suicide. Help me, Holy Ghost. He went down to the river and sat on the bank and began to cry.
Yes, sir.
A passing stranger asked if he could help. Doubtful said, unless you're a generous millionaire, I doubt that there's anything you can do. The man said, I'm not a millionaire, but my father is rich.
Amen.
And he began to unfold comforting scriptures.
Yes, sir.
And I know sometimes when we are down and we are depressed, the last thing we want to hear is scriptures.
All right.
But I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, there's nothing that can do you like the Word.
Amen.
Amen. Earth truly knows no sorrow that heaven can't heal.
Yes.
And there's power in
yes, sir.
in his word.
Yes.
The stranger began to quote scripture. He said, trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
Yes.
In this life, you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world.
Amen.
The stranger told him, no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper.
Amen.
Stranger painted Christ's sacrifice in a way that doubtful had never heard before.
Amen.
He had heard the story of Calvary, and he'd been to church a few times, but he had never really needed all of that salvation stuff because he was too busy making his fortune.
Yes, sir.
Brothers and sisters, if we too busy for God.
All right. Come on.
We too busy.
Amen.
We got too much going on if we don't have time for God.
Amen.
But now doubtful's needs have changed. Isn't it strange how need more?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Can change your outlook on,
yeah,
on stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
Amen. Need more will make you come to church.
Yes.
Need more will make you reach out,
yeah,
for help. Is that right?
Yeah.
Doubtful was in a position. Now he needed help.
Amen.
The stranger began to paint this beautiful picture of a loving Savior who died to set men free from sin.
Amen.
And to grant them eternal life.
Yes.
Doubtful, one who had never considered this situation before, sat silent for a long while and listened intently. And when he finally spoke, his words were all too familiar. He said, if only I could see, I would believe.
All right.
Amen, lights of all. More than 2,000 years ago, 2,000 years have passed since Christ was seen on the earth.
Yes, sir.
The world was in much of the same turmoil that it is now.
All right.
There were wars, rumors of wars, apostasy,
yes, sir,
murder, stealing, cheating, and adultery.
Yeah.
More than 2,000 years have passed, and the moral fiber of humanity is no better than it was when Jesus walked this earth.
All right.
And when Christians try to share the word of God into the lives of unbelievers around us, we still get the same response from many.
Yes, sir.
If only I could see,
yeah,
I would believe. Is that what makes a miracle? Do you have to see it to believe it? Consider the limitations of the eye.
All right.
The eye is an organ of vision.
Right.
It detects light and converts it into electrochemical impulses.
Yes, yes, sir.
So that we can distinguish shapes and colors.
Right.
We give the eye too much credit.
All right.
It isn't the eye that sees the car in the driveway and assumes it will start.
All right.
It isn't the eye that sees the boss on Friday and assumes that he got your paycheck.
Yeah.
All right.
It isn't the eye that sees the doctor and believes he will cure what ails us. The eye does see, but the eye cannot believe.
All right.
If it's not the eye that sees, then where does our real vision come from? I'm glad you want to know.
Amen.
Real vision comes from faith.
Yeah. All right.
Faith is the evidence,
yeah,
of things not seen.
Yeah.
And it's with the heart that man believes.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Mr. Doubtful didn't need to see with his eyes. He needed to see with his heart by faith.
Yeah.
Now God is in the miracle making business.
Uh-huh.
Miracles, brothers and sisters, happen all the time.
Amen.
But we discount their existence when we view them with the eye rather than with the heart.
All right.
Is that right?
Yes, sir.
That bad accident you saw on your way to work, you avoided it because you stopped to check on an elderly member on your way to work.
Yes, sir.
That check you got in the mail, help me somebody, it arrived right on time to pay a bill. Somebody know what I'm talking about. You, somebody want to say, well, you just got lucky. Well, no, God was in the midst of that. Is that right? Miracles happen all the time. There was a story that I read about a pastor's wife. She drove an old family car to work every day, a beat up Cadillac with more than 180,000 miles on it. Reverend Williamson, it didn't have as many miles as yours have on it. And she and her husband traveled more than 50 miles one way, taking their child to daycare, her husband to work, then backtracking to her own job several towns away. In the evening, she made the same trip to collect her family. The car was old, but it had been reliable. She knew that she couldn't afford a car payment much longer. They would have to buy a new car soon. And so one winter Friday evening, she left work, cleaned the snow off her car, got in and turned the key, and nothing happened. No sound at all. Didn't make a click or a tick. It didn't say anything. She knew that her child and husband would be waiting for her, and this was their only means of transportation. She didn't call AAA. She didn't call a local gas station. She didn't ask a co-worker for jumper cables. Instead, she bowed her head and prayed. See, a lot of times we'll ask everybody before we ever think about asking God. But she bowed her head and prayed, Lord, I know that it's, amen, been you all along who has kept this car on the road for us. I promise not to weary you with this car anymore. I just need your miracle one more time. And I promise you, Lord, if you help me today, I'll get a new car on tomorrow. She turned the key and the engine roared with delight. God kept his promise, and she kept hers. On Monday, she and her family drove to work in a brand new car. Ain't God all right? Miracles happen every day. We just don't give God the credit for them because we see with our eyes rather than with our hearts. Our spiritual vision is impaired. The world is full of unbelievers who are blind to the greatest miracle of all.
Yes, sir.
Jesus Christ.
All right.
Not because their eyes are dim, but because their hearts are hard.
Yeah.
Help me, Holy Ghost.
Yes.
John so perfectly described Jesus, the greatest of miracles and the blindness of unbelievers. He makes his case for Christ like a lawyer in a courtroom. Amen. John, amen, when you read the Gospel of John, it's like reading a thesis. Amen. He has a thesis statement that he's going to prove, and that is that Jesus is the Son of God. And if you believe on him, you can have everlasting life. And he sets out to prove those things with seven distinct miracles in his gospel, that he sets out to prove that this is the Son of God.
Amen.
He said that many other things truly to Jesus in the presence of his disciples, but these are written that you might believe,
yes, sir,
that he is the Son of God, and believe on him, you might have everlasting life. So John enters the courtroom like a lawyer. He gives three quick points. First, John says that he was in the Word.
Yeah.
That's number one. Stop just for a minute and think. Do we realize the impact of those five simple words? He was in the Word.
Yes, sir.
God fashioned himself as a man, a flesh and blood human being with legs and arms and a beating heart. Amen. He broke through his self-imposed barrier between a pure heaven and a sinful earth to appear before mankind as a living, breathing image of God. He called him Jesus the Christ. You remember that night on a rocky road between Jerusalem and Hebron. God came to town wrapped in swaddling clothes. Trying to get a witness here. They called him Jesus. Men called him by other names. Some called him blasphemer. Some called him rebel rouser. Some called him troublemaker. But those who intimately knew him called him by a different name. They called him rabbi. They called him teacher. They called him friend. And he was here. There were witnesses. Thousands of them, and just as many first-hand account of his presence.
Amen.
They saw him. They spoke with him. They laughed with him. They cried with him. They ate with him and walked with him. And they recorded their personal encounters on papyrus scrolls that have later gathered into what we know as the Bible.
Amen.
Paul saw Jesus and knew him as the one, amen, he persecuted.
Yeah.
John saw him and knew him as the Word made flesh.
All right.
Peter saw Jesus and knew him as Christ,
amen,
the Son of the living God.
Amen.
Philip saw Jesus, amen, the one that fed 5,000 with five little loaves and two fish.
Yes, sir.
Sure, the unbelievers, will their argument will simply be they saw him with their eyes.
That's it.
Well, John and Peter and Philip saw Jesus in the flesh.
Yes, sir.
And believed.
All right.
But what about Paul? He was blinded on the road to Damascus.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
He never saw Jesus with his eyes. Yet he believed.
All right.
He believed because his blindness forced him to see.
Yes, sir.
With his heart rather than with his eyes.
Yes.
The just shall walk by faith.
Yeah, yeah.
And not by sight. Chances are some of you never saw your great grandmother, but you believe she lived.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Why?
Because others in your family knew her and told you about her.
Right.
Need I say anymore?
Yeah.
Amen. John continues to make his case for Christ.
Yes.
He was not only in the world,
right,
but secondly, John says, the world was made by him. This world, this world, the one that we walk among, amen, this globe that rotates at a speed of 1,000 miles per hour,
yes,
in a vast unending universe, yet never leaves its predetermined position,
right,
on the celestial map. This globe, this world whose distance from the sun is perfectly calculated to provide necessary seasons to grow our food and to tolerate climate to sustain our existence. This work, it's hung where God wanted it to be. Any degree closer to the sun, we burn up. A degree further away from the sun, and we freeze to death. Scientists are fascinated by the complexity of the universe.
Amen.
We send satellites into space,
yes,
to try and make some sense of something that is far beyond our finite understanding.
Yes.
The conquest of space is driven by their desire for answers to questions like, how can the universe be endless?
All right.
And who or what is at its end?
Yes.
Well, this fervent quest for knowledge manifests itself in their refusal merely to accept the biblical account of what they cannot comprehend.
All right.
The reality is that we face a mental dilemma when we refuse to accept John's legal brief that Christ was in the world and the world was made by him.
Yes, sir.
Well, when we wrap our finite brains around that, we are no longer baffled by how how or the who. When you need answers to questions, you go to the most reliable source.
Yes, sir.
If you have trouble with your TV, you call your cable or satellite provider.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
If you have problems with your car, you go to a mechanic.
All right.
If you have issues with your health, you go to a doctor.
Yes.
Well, if you want answers to the world's complexity,
come on.
Go to the most reliable source.
Amen.
Christ was in the Word.
Yes.
And He was God made flesh.
Amen.
He dwelt among us, the one who made the Word.
Yes, sir.
Here's the how and the who.
All right.
Genesis 1, 6 through 8. Then God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters.
Yes.
Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So in the evening and the morning were the second day.
Yes.
If you can't believe the maker, who can you believe?
Yeah.
Is that right? Now, I'm no lawyer, but it would seem to me that John has a point in his dissertation.
All right.
But John is not through with his legal brief.
Yes, sir.
He was in the world.
All right.
And the world was made by him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then finally, John says, the world knew him not.
Uh-huh.
Help me, Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
How blind men, amen, is to their own salvation.
All right.
How utterly disconnected.
Yes.
The whole of mankind to the profundity of Christ's sacrifice for our salvation.
All right.
How dare we diss our belief, deliverer. Help me, Lord.
Yes.
When I was a little boy,
yes,
and some of you were the same, my mother taught me to say thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
She would tell me that someone who didn't say thank you,
all right,
was nothing more than an ingrate.
Yeah.
An ungrateful person.
All right.
Now, I didn't understand at the time what an ingrate was.
Yeah.
But it sounded like something I didn't want to be.
All right.
So I always said, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm older and I get it now.
All right.
We're nothing more than ingrates.
Yeah.
When we use the multifarious, amen, of diverse resources.
All right.
Of our existence.
Yeah.
The air, the water, the soul and the universe.
Yes.
And we don't say thank you to the one that gave it to us.
Yeah.
Come here to witness here.
Yeah.
When we get up in the morning, we ought to say thank you, Lord, for waking us up. Wasn't the alarm clock that got us up in the morning. But God touched us. And we rose to see a day had never seen before. Now John's full legal argument is a form of chastisement.
Yeah.
It's a shame on you moment. Can you witness it? Christ was in the world. Christ made the world. But the world knew him not. But who is John chastising? Is he simply calling the men of antiquity on the carpet for a condemnation?
Yeah.
Or is John talking about you and me? What will it take for you to believe the miracle of salvation through Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
Will you believe that Christ was in the world? Or will you diss your deliverer?
Yeah.
Will you believe that the world was made by him?
Yeah.
Or will you catch a ride on the next spaceship in search of a more palatable answer? Will you accept Christ as
simply say, I don't know him. You can reject him because he gave you that choice. But when you come to the end of life's journey and you're taking your last breath, you will stand before Christ, your intercessor. And if you rejected him, you will hear him say, I know you not. Help me, Holy Ghost. But what if you believe the miracle of salvation? Then I come to tell you that he will forgive you. Amen. Your enemies will be conquered. Your difficulties will be overcome. Help me, Lord God. The greatest, amen, of your doubts will be dispelled if you believe in him. The biggest of your blunders will forever be buried. And one day you will hear the Savior say, come, my beloved. Is that right? John has made his case. You need only believe in him. And here's his closing argument. He comes to let you know that Christ was in the world. And the world was made by him. Can I get a witness here? And the world knew him not. There are miracles everywhere. We were lost, condemned, and doomed to die. But Christ came. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. He came into the world that he made. He performed miracles after miracles. The shedding of his blood for the remission of our sins. He gave our sight to the blind. Unstopped their feet. Can I get a witness here? Lame men walked at his word. Miracles everywhere. He found our weaknesses. And strengthened them. Where we were empty, he filled them. Is that right? I don't know about you, but I'm looking for a miracle. Is that all right? I expect the impossible. I feel the intangible. I see the invisible because I see with my heart. The sky is the limit to what I can hold. Just believe and receive it. God will perform it today. But the greatest of all miracles, he was in the world. He made the world. And the world knew him not. That is the greatest miracle of all.
Yes, sir.
That God wrapped himself in flesh.
Amen.
He came and dwelt among us.
Yes.
And we beheld his glory as of the only begotten of the Father.
Amen.
Full of grace and truth. And because of that, you're looking at a miracle.
Yes, amen.
Every time you get up in the morning, it's a miracle.
Yes.
Is that right?
Amen.
Nobody understands, nor can they figure it out. Amen. How bones are formed in the womb of a mother. They can speculate, but nothing but a God can do a thing like this. Is that right? We're looking at miracles every day. God is the only one that can hold the whole world in the palm of his hand. Is that right? He can allow the sun to rise in the east and transverse across the sky and set in the west. Amen. Every night and stars twinkle in the sky. Nothing but a God can do a thing like this. That's a miracle. We all are miracles. Every breath that we breathe. It's a miracle.
Thank you, Jesus.
That's how much he loves us.
Yes.
If he didn't love us, our eyes wouldn't blink. Is that right? Our heart wouldn't beat.
Yeah.
Our lungs wouldn't expand and contract. He loves us.
Amen.
But we have the audacity to ask God, carest thou not that we perish? You, if he didn't love you,
all right,
you would in fact be perishing. But because he loves you,
He stood up in the midst of your turbulent life, on the midst of your rocky boat of life. And while you were yet without faith, he spoke. He spoke to the wind and the waves, and they obeyed him. The wind hushed its mouth, and lightning recalled back into the garage of nature, and the sea became a placid calm. And they stood and wondered among themselves, what manner of man is this?
Yeah.
That even the wind and the waves obey him.
Amen.
We serve a miracle-making God.
Amen.
The door of the church is open if you're here. And you need a miracle. Not something you need to see, but something you can believe. He's passing out miracles every day. Is that all right?
I won't have to.